Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor Oscar Clavel delivers the message entitled, How Are You Related?
Our first scripture reading this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. The words of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second verse comes from Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 12. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, but for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our own spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of our Lord. And let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks this day for your blessing, your love, your joy already in our lives. And so, Lord, we just ask that our hearts, our minds, every aspect of us would be open to receive what is for us this day, your words. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Who are you? Who am I? Is one of those philosophical questions that I think probably for all of human history has been pondered and tried to understood. But really, we come to a great understanding of it through philosophy in the Roman Greco world, where they sought to understand what makes for a good life, and they delve deep into the motivations, the virtues of the human psyche. In the Old Testament, we see the question, who are you, is also answered in Adam and Eve, who knew themselves and each other in relationship to God. Although once sin enters the picture, they lose their identity and they focus on themselves. And so God comes into the garden and they say, we are naked and we are ashamed. And God responds, who told you that you were naked? We see identity is important really in the story of Israel in exile. The Israelites have forgotten that they are bound to God and that they are his people. Their sin, Jeremiah points out, is my people have forgotten who they are and whose they belong to. And the story of Jesus could really be condensed into a reclaiming of wayward people into the identity of children of God with benefits of adoption. So who are you? Who am I? Is not only a philosophical, psychological, but it is really also a spiritual question. Now, the creed that we have been studying and will continue to study helps us to immediately identify ourselves in relationship to God. It says that God is our Father. Now, this term Father was one that Jesus used very often to describe the relationship that he shared with God. And Jesus primarily spoke Aramaic during this time. And what we understand as we uncover is that very much the way that Jesus spoke to God was almost like a child saying, Daddy. And this really highlights for us an attitude, a posture that Jesus had. He was dependent on God for guidance, sustenance, and strength. And so this is the first clue as to the nature of what it means for us to call God our Father and we God's children. We are the ones in need, we are unable, we are dependent, and God is the one who can provide what is needed and lacking. But you know, one thing that we have to also keep in our minds is that we cannot call God Father if we don't also speak of God as children. See, the two are related and interconnected to one another. God cannot be Father if he has no children. We cannot be called children if we have no Father. And so we must always keep the two terms connected to one another, bound, you might even say. Today we're going to look at two ways that this relationship between God as our Father both informs our identity, who am I, who are you, but then also the benefits that we receive as children of God. So the first that we read is from the book of Matthew's, and Jesus identifies himself here as the Son of the Heavenly Father, and he speaks of what results from that relationship to those who will and do believe in him. In fact, Jesus says that they can come to God with very little or with great burdens in their lives, and they will find rest for their souls. Now, the intended meanings of the verses that Paula read for us today are really about the heavy demands and burdens that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious people of the time placed on people to know God. Talking about rituals, specific prayers, avoidances, you get the picture. There's all these rules that were attached. And Jesus says, you know, these things that are extra, they are weighty, they are burdensome, but they are not it. The essence of what it means to know God, Jesus says, is I am it. Grace is the essence of what it means to know God. And so Jesus says, you know what? You can take off the weight and the burdens of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and you will find rest for your souls. Because my teaching, my learning is very gentle. It's very warm. It'll soothe your soul. So our first identity that we have here of God being our Father is that the way to know God is very open and gracious. We can know God, we can be known by God, simply by Jesus Christ. And this is an important thing because so much of the struggle between Christians and God has to do with this, with access to the source of life. We create obstacles along the way. You must do this, you must follow that in order to be in a good standing with God. And oftentimes we want others to do the very things that we are missing or denying ourselves, and so we project. But also a lot of the little extra weights and burdens that we place on ourselves or upon one another, a lot of times they're good things. They're not bad things. So I'm about to tell you a story that will highlight that I did not grow up Presbyterian, in case you were wondering. As a teenager, part of the church that I went to, drinking was a mortal sin. Now, mortal meaning this is the sin you do not do, right? And couldn't even take a whiff of this stuff. I mean, this was a very, very bad thing to do. So obviously, I didn't grow up Presbyterian. Now, this was not bad advice for the short term. As a teenager, this is good advice to give, right? Even as a young college student, this was good advice as well. The problem became is that I equated my love of God with my commitment to avoid alcohol, not the relationship of Father and Son. And this is what Jesus is saying. There is a trap. There is this tendency to believe that the only way that God will consider me his child and that I can consider him my Father is if I do these things that avoids these extra rituals. And Jesus says, no, come to me. Come. And take the weight and the burden off. And you will find rest for your souls. So Jesus reframes our identity. He says, it's not dependent on merit, but rather on the undeniable, irreversible fact that God is your Father. Now, I have a few friends of mine who don't have a good relationship with their dads. But, you know, ironically, when they are a little frustrated with their dad, and let's suppose the dad's name is Joe, they don't say, oh, you'll never believe what Joe did the other day. They always say, you know, oh, never believe what my dad said. Never believe what my dad did. It's kind of funny how even when there's rebellion and pain, that bond can't be broken. And that's the same with us. You know, Eugene Peterson, he died about 3 weeks ago. Eugene Peterson, he was the author of the Bible translation, The Message. And at the funeral, one of his sons gave a eulogy. And I'm just going to paraphrase here some of the things he said. He said, my dad had everyone duped. Everyone thought that he was pulling new ideas and thoughts out of his sleeves like a genius. But from the time that I was a child, I knew exactly what my dad taught and wrote about in so many ways. Every night, my dad would come into my room and he would always say these words: God loves you. He's on your side. He's coming after you. He's relentless. Can you imagine growing up hearing that every single day of your life? God loves you. He's on your side. He's coming after you. He's relentless. This is the promise of the children of God that we have when we say God is our Father. We have security and assurance. Now, in Romans, we uncover the nature of the bond between God and his children. Paul recounts that in the past, the people of God were very powerless and they were guilty because they could not live up to the demands of the law, so the Torah, as we say. And the Torah tells us that if you break one law, you've broken them all. It's pretty hard, actually. Yet, Paul tells us there was one person, his name is Jesus, and he lived the law perfectly as a human being. And only he can stand in for you as having accomplished all the demands that the law has. And so Paul says we are indebted now not to our old way, but rather we are indebted to God because he now makes us children of God rather than lawbreakers or enemies. And Paul says that because of Jesus, certain undeniable rights are given to you. And that right really is life, both life while you live and both life when you're dead. But Paul says, but it's a little bit deeper than just life while you're living and life while you're dead. There's something more in this transaction that happens. He says, you receive an inheritance from the very beginning. And Paul speaks of this inheritance and he calls it the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And the Spirit is the glue that keeps this bond together. Husband and wife are married and they make a commitment. They're in a covenant contractual obligation to one another. Well, this is kind of the same thing for us. The Holy Spirit is what binds and keeps this promise of father and children together. But how so? Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit settles the question of adoption. It says that I am a sealed, that it is a seal, meaning that this is the promise that I am for God and God is for me. But it's also constant communication between a father and a child that is guiding, sustaining, and strengthening. And so Paul says, the way that we know that we are children of God, he says, and there's only one way that we know this one. He says, it's not by knowledge, so great learning won't help you here. You might be tempted to think, oh, it's probably feeling how I feel. But I've been at great sermons before, such as this one, and have been very moved in heart and spirit. But Paul says, nope, it's not based on feeling. And I'm joking, by the way, in case you're visiting here this morning. Got to remember that sometimes. There are visitors here, you may not know my communication style. Okay, so it's not by knowledge, it's not by how I feel, but Paul says, rather, the way that we know that we are adopted children of God is by the evidence or the fruit of our lives. That's what Paul says. He says, and the only way that we bear fruit is by the Holy Spirit. God continues to sustain, to carry, to give sustenance to us. But here's the thing. The fruit of our lives is also not to be equated with perfection, because that would be a mistake. So I'm going to just kind of take I'm going to ask you a question, and I'll ask the question. Who here has a perfect child? Take about two more seconds. Yeah, once again, every sermon or every service, I've been disappointed. Nobody has a perfect child, and you wouldn't demand perfection out of your own children because you know their personality, you know their quirks. Well, here's the thing, folks. God doesn't have perfect children either. And it's kind of silly that we demand perfection out of ourselves because you wouldn't demand it out of your own children. And if the relationship that God has with us can be in some way similar, I'm not saying it's completely, but in some way similar to the connections that children have with parents on earth, God only magnifies it a lot more. But yet, there's this bond that God says, yes, you are my child by the fruit of your life, but it's not perfection, because that's the trap. The Spirit calls and draws us back to God. So here is the ways, there's two ways that we know how God is our Father and we are God's children. First, the relationship is not dependent on merit, but rather on the undeniable and irreversible fact that God is my Father. We are secure and we are assured. Secondly, we know our adoption by the evidence of our lives, not perfect lives, but lives that are being guided by the Holy Spirit. And these are important things. They were important back then. They're important even for us today. We are loved by God. We are children of God. That cannot be taken away from you. But yet, I will offer you this one warning. There are many who will, though, tell you that that bond, that sacredness can be broken. And that's a lie. It's a horrible lie. It's a horrible lie because so many people hear that message. I am not loved enough by God. I am not accepted by God. How could God call me his child? And people will say, it's because you don't do this. It's because you, whatever it is. Folks, those are lies. And I feel for you deeply if that's where you're at, because I lived there for so many years of my life as well, trying to earn God's love, trying to be the perfect child. And Jesus says, let the weight, let the burden go, and come, all who are weak and weary, and you will find rest for your souls. The only person who can give me that promise is God. And so I want to tell you, God is your Father. Church, as we've been doing, let us recite together what we believe. And if you'll stand with me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.